Welcome to E-commerce Explained, the podcast that'll help you to start, launch, and grow your own successful online store. My name is Warwick Hearns, and I'm South Africa's e-commerce expert. Back in 2010, I founded the award-winning online store Action Gear, and I grew that business from zero to doing over 20 million rand in annual revenue back in 2017, when I sold the business so that I could dedicate myself to helping South African online entrepreneurs just like you to avoid the pitfalls which I had to overcome so that you can achieve more success online faster. I'm really excited that you're listening to this, and I look forward to having you on this journey with me, where I'm going to show you how to get your online store started, grow your sales with the best digital marketing methods, and scale your business to bring about more and more success. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review with your thoughts. Let's get into this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome to this episode where we're talking about a topic that, again, you know, one of these topics that is maybe it's not always the sexiest topic to learn about, but it's something that if you are into e-commerce, if you're learning about selling online, or if you are actually selling online already, well, returns is something that you need to know all about. It's kind of like one of those pain points, those gripes, those things that you don't actually worry about it until you get a customer who is phoning you or emailing your support team and asking to send something back. And then you've got to worry about how the heck do you do this? Not only how do you do this, but how do you do it in a way where you keep the customer happy, keep them engaged, and hopefully keep them coming back again and again. And this is actually a really key discussion or key topic to be talking about, largely because a lot of customers aren't shopping online because of the fear of a negative experience around the return. And so we need to, as a community, as an e-commerce group altogether, we need to get this right. And so I'm so glad that today I'm talking with Craig Plowden, who's the CEO and the founder of RevLogs, focusing on return logistics, that's focusing on returns. And he's going to share his wisdom, his expertise, and answer a whole bunch of questions that I've got, and hopefully some questions that might be circulating in the back of your mind. And I'm really excited to welcome Craig to the podcast. So Craig, welcome to this episode, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Warwick. Thank you very much. Thanks for the invite.
No problem. Craig, why don't you kick things off by telling us a little bit about yourself and about RevLogs?
So RevLogs started back in 2008. I left the corporate environment where I was the finance director at the time was a freight forwarding company, but before that was a battery business company called Energizer. And we gathered, you know, we realized that in that position, there was a definite need for somebody to manage the returns in the industry. And at the time, sitting on the Energizer desk, we would receive credit requests from the big retailers to the tune of about 150, 200,000 rand a month. And we were lucky if a third of those ever got back into our stock. And that's really where the whole idea of RevLogs was born. So we started in 2008. It took us 2 years to land our first clients. And really what we do is try and take the pain away from a seller or a retailer or anybody for that matter who's selling a product and take away their return pain. You know, there's a lot of benefits in managing the returns effectively. And we like to think that we can do that off-site, and we add through our reporting and through our processing systems, we add a lot of value back into their businesses.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'm looking forward to diving into those topics through our conversation right now. But, you know, in other more established e-commerce markets, it's a well-used service for e-commerce sellers to partner with experts in that field to say, well, you know, as an online seller, you want to focus on selling stuff, right? And maybe the return stuff, which is not always your forte, your expertise, like let's get the experts in to help us out. So Craig, why don't you walk us through, just to kick things off, like what would be the typical returns process that somebody would follow?
Let's talk particularly from an online point of view. I think, are you talking about from the seller or from the consumer?
From the consumer, I guess, yeah. Like what they would do, how they would start even look to do it.
I think we can look at it from both sides. So the consumer is going to receive a package. Some of the biggest reasons for them returning the products are the incorrect product has been delivered, or what they've received isn't what they wanted, or what the product is once it's unboxed doesn't look like it did on the seller's website, or quite often, funny enough, we say that the product didn't meet the customer's expectation. And there's, again, various reasons for that. One of which, funnily enough, is that they don't know how to use the product because they haven't looked at the instructions. And various other reasons. And that product then needs to be returned. So they would go onto a site and try and find how to do that. So, or they just phone the seller directly and say, I need my product to be returned. And I think that's where a lot of the mess starts, or a lot of the confusion starts, is now, how do I get this product back? It's now become my mission as a customer, and I need it to go back. And if it's not going to go back seamlessly, I'll go and buy something somewhere else.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a big issue, because I know that so many consumers don't actually want to shop online just because of this fear. Like, as you say, it becomes their mission, it becomes their admin to now look after, but it shouldn't really be. So like, what, where could they go from there?
Look, let me, before we answer that, to be honest, it should be a lot easier to be able to return a product online, because if you're returning it into a brick and mortar store, you've got to get to the store to get your product back. So from there, really, they should be looking at the returns policy online. So the first thing I'll do is have a look at a returns policy of anyone who I'm buying from through an online space, and then understand how best to return that item. So some of the guys have got a whole online system where you can go and load the return. If necessary, print a returns label. Not everyone can print a returns label, but there's other ways of doing that online. And then understanding what to do with that product. Do you need to go and deliver it at a logistics point, such as a Pargo delivery point, or one of the other big logistics businesses who have now put up delivery and collection points all over the place? Or can you arrange for a courier to come to your house and collect it? Does it have to be boxed? How does that need to be prepared in order to go back to the seller? And I think that's for a seller to have all of that type of information online, easily accessible, easily understood in our market, and something that doesn't take a consumer too long to sort out at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, I think you're so right with that, because, you know, one of the challenges that a consumer would have is just the missing, or the lack of information around this. And as we coach our premium students to do, like, it's so important to have all of this information so readily available. And not only is it going to help in this situation where somebody's actually trying to book a return, but having that information readily and proactively available on the site is also going to build that customer trust to help them to make to place that order in the first place. And then if you can make it an easier process, that's just winning, because you know, it's an interesting time of year. Like, at the time that this podcast goes live, it's the Monday after Black Friday. And just after Black Friday, the following Thursday, well, in America, certainly it's known as Returns Thursday, because that's when the most returns will actually be booked in terms of the e-commerce environment. And so this stuff is crucial to get right. You know, we've previously used some free Shopify apps, actually, that book an RMA number, and it lets the customer book a Weibull. But you still need to have a communication flow to book it in. So using something like Pargo or the Pudo lockers from Courier Guy, like, those are all amazing offers to use. But ultimately, you know, you touched on something earlier, which is about this becoming the customer's mission or their admin now to sort out. Who should really be responsible for managing this to manage the return?
I think it's the seller should, without a doubt. I think if you want to increase your customer satisfaction levels and ensure that your customer keeps coming back to your site to buy whatever product you're selling and not your competitors, then you should make it entirely your problem to get that return back for various reasons. Like I said, it increases your customer satisfaction level, but it also brings your customer back to shop again. So they're on your site now. I do get that you need to verify or audit that return before you can give them a credit, depending on the cost of the return. Some people don't. They just give the credit straight away. But to make it the seller's problem, as in the seller arranges the pickup, the seller arranges a pickup at a time that's convenient to the customer, and possibly even giving the consumer or customer the option to decide whether they want to take it to a Pargo type drop-off or whether they want you to come and collect it from their premises, whether that be their office or home, although right now office and home are synonymous. But the other issue is that the seller needs to try and pinpoint a time or a time period in which to collect that item. So to say to a customer, I'll be there tomorrow anytime between 8 and 5 doesn't really cut it in my mind. You need to be able to say, I'll be there between and give a two-hour timeline. Otherwise, the customer sits and waits around for a courier to come and collect their product.
Yeah, I know. I wish that our courier partners could do such a thing to give a two-hour window, but that's not always possible. Hopefully, it will be in the South African market in the not-too-distant future. But that's also where giving them the options of using the Pudo lockers to just go and drop it off at their convenience. That's also a good option. But I agree with you to make it so that it's not the admin or the issue or the problem for the customer, but rather that the merchant is proactively sorting this out for better customer service. I mean, if the customer has a bad experience, they're not going to shop with you again. That's just a fact. So if you can turn a seemingly negative situation around to being a good experience, then that's just going to lead to way more customer support and way more customer loyalty long into the future. So it's a good move. But you spoke about the fact that the customer could book the delivery themselves, or the seller could book it for them. But this could be a tricky question to answer, but who do you think is responsible for the cost of returning the item to the merchant?
So straight up the seller, I would say, without question. There are, however, anomalies to that. So if a customer has gone and damaged a screen on a computer, that's not the merchant's issue. However, if the return is coming back intact, so the customer's reboxed it, the return's intact, it's not damaged, then that should really be for the seller's cost. Of course, that does bring up the arguments of, was it damaged in transit back? But then that's a fight that the seller needs to have with his logistics provider.
Yeah, it is a tricky one to get right, because there's so many different scenarios where somebody could be returning an item maybe it wasn't displayed, the information wasn't displayed correctly on the site. So now they've received it and it's not fit for purpose, or it isn't what they needed. Now they need to return it. So it's a merchant's fault. But like you mentioned at the beginning, maybe they ordered something and they've ordered the wrong thing, and now they need to return it to you. And I've always personally felt like the customer should actually just kind of put their hand up and say, sorry, my bad, let me pay the courier cost back to you. But this is one of the tricky gray areas that I've never quite found out like the right way to do this. If we could take a leaf from Takealot's book and just say like merchants could just take the approach that you cover all returns, the cost of the returns, just to keep the customers happy, if that's your ultimate goal.
Yeah, and I think it's done well for Takealot. I think of any online business, in fact, any business, whether it's brick and mortar, online or both, Takealot really, in my mind, has the best returns policy there is, because they do exactly that. No questions asked, they'll pick it up and they give you the refund.
Yeah, and this might be a little bit off topic, but I also know that they'll often pass the returns or the unboxed items back to their suppliers, and then it's like they can have that argument another time, or that discussion at another time. But ultimately, they are fighting for the best interest of the customer. And that goes a long way to build that trust. And with e-commerce, trust is everything. And having this returns process nailed down and having it work seamlessly and giving the customers a good experience is ultimately one of the driving points that's going to increase e-commerce and online sales in South Africa. So I'm really glad we're having this conversation. But, we spoke a little bit offline before this recording, and you were speaking about how sellers can create value from a return. Now, I'd love to dive a bit into that. So I think you're reframing this from being a negative situation to actually one that's actually a positive situation. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
So to start with, the seller really needs to look at a lot of the guys that we've dealt with have looked at a return cost as a single line item on their income statements. And if you're going to do that, then you're going to tell me that a return is never, ever, ever going to save you money. And that's incorrect, because the return isn't a single cost on your income statement. In fact, it goes across your income statement and balance sheets where it saves you money. So if you have been sending a return, if you're managing your returns process correctly, there's no doubt that you're going to be saving money, because now you have a handle on everything that comes back. You understand why it's coming back, where it's come back from, and what the fault is, if the reporting is adequate, which it really should be. Furthermore, all of the processing from those returns are handled offsite in a return center. So if you have a return that comes back now, you need to turn this into a positive. First of all, you have all of the reporting on what's come back, why it's come back, where it's come back from, what the product is, and you can have a myriad of different codes for the different faults in the product. And then after it's gone through the processing of, so it'll come in and you sort it. And once it's gone through the whole processing system, there you can allocate it into various buckets. And now is where it really, really helps, because either that product has come back, it's still boxed, and it's fine because the customer didn't want it, that goes straight back into your sales cycle, no problem at all. Or it goes back into a repair box. So you go and you get it repaired, and then you can sell it through a secondhand or liquidation channel. And there's loads of those. I'm sure the guys know that already. And that really is where you're going to you see the value from the returns process, is that those boxes aren't sitting in a warehouse somewhere. And no matter what anyone says, every single customer we've ever been to who says we have our returns sorted, have it sorted in a corner of their warehouse, and they have no idea what's in there or what value they can extract from that. And I think just being able to remove that and put it into different avenue or different buckets, even the stuff that has to be destroyed, get it destroyed. But you'll find that that generally is not as much as they originally thought. A lot of that stuff can be resold. And if it's electronic products or something, or some big white good products, there's a lot of spare parts that can come from those returns too, which we've used in the past. So that's really where you can recoup value. And I'm not saying that, you know, for a seller to have to do that themselves is understandably probably not worth it, because now they're taking up the valuable time doing that instead of selling the product out. But to appoint somebody to just do that definitely creates value in their system.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, through my business at one stage, Action Gear was selling dozens and dozens, hundreds of drones. And we had an annoying situation with the drones, is when a customer received them, and they turned on the item for the first time, it paired to their tablet or their phone or whatever, and it registered the warranty to that customer. And for whatever reason, if the customer then returned it to us, we couldn't sell that product as new. No matter how brand new it was, the fact that the warranty had linked to first customer, we couldn't sell it as new. And so we, like, these things piled up and piled up and piled up, and we tried, like, we salvaged it for spares. And ultimately, like a moment ago, you mentioned that this affects your balance sheet, and it did affect our balance sheet, because we had like inventory there that we actually weren't counting as inventory because we didn't know how to value it and we didn't know what to do with it. We tried to, we eventually moved it on the secondhand market. But understanding how to make this process quicker and easier and kind of a well-managed process altogether would certainly be a benefit to any business. So it's so important for people to be learning about this, to be understanding that this is something that should be a priority within your business, not only for a good customer experience, but also for managing your own business. Because every pile of inventory, whether it's new inventory in the stockroom or that pile of returns in the corner, that should be viewed as piles of money. And that money needs to be sold, recouped, put back into the business for marketing, for more inventory, for growth, or heck, put more money into your own pocket at the end of the month. So doing this returns process correctly and doing it well is certainly something to focus on. So Craig, I love that you guys are in the market, and like I said, the established e-commerce market, there's so many people that are using services like yours, like Revlogs, and using that as an asset or as a partner within their own business. So if people wanted to learn more about Revlogs, where can they go? To the website, to LinkedIn, where should they find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn, and there's quite a description on what we do there. Or else they can go onto our website, www.revlogs. Yeah.
Awesome. Great. And we'll link that up beneath this audio. We'll put that link in there also. So Craig, just, is there anything else like on your mind that we haven't got around to today? Anything else that you want to add to this conversation to wrap it up and call it complete?
No. Thanks, Warwick. I think you've covered everything nicely. It's been a great discussion. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your knowledge, your expertise, and your wisdom with us. It certainly is going to help anybody who's listened through, and I appreciate it. So thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, man.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm excited to have you along on this journey with me, and I wish you all the best with implementing this information in your own online store. If you'd like to access my free range of e-commerce strategies, tools, and mini courses that have helped thousands of South African entrepreneurs just like you, then be sure to visit insaka.co.za/free. I'm looking forward to chatting to you in the next episode. Till then, take care.